is up, Secret Bunker Nation. We're your hosts, Max and Piers. Let's get right into the news. Welcome back, everybody, to the Secret Bunker Podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Max.
And I am your other co-host, Piers.
We did both intros so that we could scrap that one if it's too cringy, but I think it's funny.
And it's the perfect segue into the topic of today's episode, which is internet drama.
Dun, dun, dun!
This is a warning for some of our older listeners. You might have no idea about anything, literally anything that we're going to be talking about. This might make no sense to you, and that's okay.
Yes, but for those of you who are tuned into the internet and have been hearing what's been going on recently, this should be a pretty interesting one. We're going to unpack, we're going to give our opinions, and we are going to hopefully not stir up any beef, but who knows? Maybe some people might get mad at us.
Actually, that could be good for the podcast.
Maybe, yeah. So our first story of the day, our first internet drama story, is we're going to talk about the beef now between H3H3 Productions and Keemstar.
This is huge.
This has been a long time coming. I feel like they've been taking a lot of shots at each other on the DL for a long time. So H3H3 decided to put out a video, finally, entitled Keemstar Content Nuke.
This is already so cringe. This is already intensely cringe, but I love it.
No, I mean, I don't care. Cringe is cringe. So for those of you who don't know, let's give a little background. So Keemstar is an internet drama personality who hosts this show called Drama Alert. But basically, he posts and reports on all the drama that's going on online. And he's known for being not so factual, I guess.
Keemstar is an old man. He has children. From his perspective, he's the king of YouTube. He reigns above all the other influencers, and he dictates who's right and who's wrong. He is the most powerful force on the internet when it comes to drama.
And there are many people who have talked about him before. 4 years ago, iDubbbz made one of his famous content cops, which are these videos where he critiques people who are problematic on the internet.
Millions of views, by the way.
People felt like he had actually listened. You know, the general consensus after that was Keemstar was canceled and he has reformed himself and made himself better. And H3 wanted to show that that is not the case at all. He hasn't changed. He's just as pathetic and low-lifey and clickbaity and scammy and lying, I guess, as he was before.
Being an internet drama summary guy is not necessarily a bad thing, but the way that Keemstar does it, I believe, and I think you agree, is one of the most negative vibes being sent out across the internet.
He reports inaccurately on things. He has no problem spinning stories and leaving out facts in order to make his point seem more valid, often at the expense of the person he's talking about, making them sound worse than they are, putting them out of context.
Keemstar has millions of subscribers and he gets millions of views, and he will often say, hey, I'm the news, I'm just reporting the news. But he doesn't act like the news. He does no fact-checking. He doesn't have a team that substantially checks for quality and for truth. He doesn't do the responsible things to be the news outlet that he claims to be.
And then the second part of that is he has a very aggressive fan base who likes to spew hate. And that's because of like the culture that he's kind of brought up. And he almost has this like attack machine now of people where whenever he calls someone out, all his fans will just go and flood them with hate and with toxic negative comments, and he really is, you know, just spreading toxicity and promoting cancel culture.
And furthermore, his power is so overly weighted that I was even worried bringing him up on our podcast because I don't know what I might have done or what he might be able to pretend I've done. I don't want him to cancel the work that we've done so far. Of course, we're very small, he won't listen to us, but on the off chance he does, it can actually be negative for our entire lives, angering this one man. And the fact that that's a real thing is a huge issue on the internet.
Yeah, and he abuses that power is kind of what we're getting at. He's also a big anti-mental health advocate. Is it an advocate? He's very yeah, anti-mental health, and he preaches all these messages about how people, if they're depressed, they need to stop feeling sad and mental health is bullshit, and he has a lot of negative messages.
And there are people who that message resonates with. However, he doesn't understand that the people who do have chronic mental health issues, that messaging that he puts out can be extremely damaging to them.
And he doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
Now, let's circle back to H3H3.
Who is prone to a few controversies of his own.
Yes, he is. But in general, for a long time, he was thought of as almost like one of the moral men of YouTube.
Sure, I like him. I'm a fan of H3.
He made a lot of funny content, and he has a podcast now, the H3 podcast, that's huge, and it's really interesting. I listen to it all the time.
Totally.
But I think definitely his credibility as the moral man of YouTube has kind of degraded a bit over the past couple of years, where people just like to talk about hypocrisies, things that he's maybe said in one podcast and said a different opinion in another podcast. But he's thought of as someone who's much more well-liked and much less controversial than Keemstar. Let's just say that.
Exactly. And I think if you're someone who's listening to this and has no idea how the internet even works, if you're someone who doesn't even know how to operate Zoom, if that's your level of internet fluency, us talking about Drama Alert H3 is completely foreign to you. I think if you were to listen to the H3 podcast and a Keemstar's Drama Alert, you would come away going, H3, that's a nice guy. Keemstar, what a d-.
Yeah.
Max, do you want to bring us through some of the biggest allegations against Keemstar from H3?
So H3 made a video relatively unprompted. Like, there was a small thing that Keemstar recently did to annoy H3, and it was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. But it wasn't like, the thing he did recently to H3 was not worth this whole drama. It was just the combination of everything that's happened up to this point. And that's mostly what Ethan's focusing on, is like the stuff he's done in the past to show that he hasn't really changed since the iDubbbz video and since all that stuff.
H3 also gave us some enlightenment as to what happens in the back end, and Keemstar is just as rude, just as arrogant in private DMs as he is in public videos.
Yeah, so one of the main controversies he talks about is this Twitch streamer who's an older gentleman. His name is Tony something. I forget his last name.
He's really old.
Yeah, he's in his like late 60s. You know, an old man with gray hair and a long beard. He's not very technologically literate.
Old enough to the point that we should be nice to him, you know?
Yeah.
There's a certain age in society where a 50-year-old guy, okay, we don't have to be nice to him. 60, okay, he's a bit old, but he should know better. 70, these are, you know, our elders. We should, I believe, give them a little bit of respect.
Yeah, and so he likes to stream video games on Twitch, live stream, to a relatively small audience, 100 viewers or so every night. But he basically was falsely accused by Keemstar as a pedophile. And the only allegations that Keemstar had for this accusation was there was an accusation of someone who did a pedophilic act after meeting a young child in a video game, and the person in the article vaguely resembled him.
Vaguely.
Like, looked somewhat like him. And so he decided to take it upon himself to attack this man and call him a pedophile in front of millions of people with no evidence whatsoever that it was him. And it was a completely different person.
This is going out of his way, based off his face looking a little similar to a picture, and spreading one of the most hateful, gruesome crimes you can do to millions of people who he knows we'll go after this old man, who is not a mainstream celebrity.
That's what happened. Many, many, many people went after this poor old man and flooded his comments with hate, tried to get him banned from Twitch, telling him to commit suicide, like really horrible things.
The culture around Drama Alert is so toxic that it goes as far as to include this thing in the internet that we call doxing.
What doxing is when someone, for a malicious reason, somehow finds the personal information of someone else and leaks it. And it can be anything from a phone number to a home address.
To their parents' phone numbers, to their children's phone numbers. Really personal information broadcasted to millions of people. When you dox someone, you're not doing a crime. You're just putting in information. But you open up other people to do crimes. And in Keemstar's case, he knows that when he gives someone's home address, there will be fake police reports.
Swatting.
Swatting.
So what swatting is, when someone's address is found out on the internet, people think it's funny to call the police and report a fake violent crime that is not happening at that address. The SWAT team and police will then show up and break into the house and arrest everybody in it. And they think it's funny because they're doing this to the celebrity. But there are many people who have died because of this. H3 gives examples of times where Keemstar has, you know, doxed someone, this YouTuber named Smile4You, and he was then swatted after that. And Keemstar says as a response, oh, well, I didn't swat anybody. I just leaked the address. I didn't do anything wrong. Someone else did something wrong, but he enabled them to do that wrong thing and did it purposefully.
Fully within his own knowledge. And it can be deadly. There have been cases of people dying from being swatted. It's one of the worst things you can do on the internet.
And the person who puts in the fake call is almost always arrested and given jail time to some capacity. So do not SWAT people.
It's a terrible thing to do.
Another example of Keemstar's lack of sympathy for mental health is the sad case of the Twitch streamer Etika.
Yeah.
Now, I knew who Etika was before this story happened, vaguely, but I have friends that watch his stream every day and were really sad to hear about that when this happened. But Etika was a Twitch streamer who unfortunately and sadly took his own life after strings of bad mental health at the end of 2018.
Etika was known for having these manic attacks where he would believe he was the Antichrist. Really intense mental health issues. And Keemstar went as far as to bring on Etika to the Drama Alert channel during those manic episodes.
He doesn't care about the mental health and physical health of the people. And then after Etika unfortunately took his own life, Keemstar had the audacity to claim that Etika was a friend when he did nothing but perpetuate his mental illness.
Well, we don't know the backstory. Perhaps they did make up afterwards on the private DMs.
So Keemstar says he said that they were good friends and that when he was on Drama Alert, he gave him a platform to talk about his mental health and they made up on there because they had some beef previously. H3 points out in the video, if you actually listen to when Etika was on Drama Alert, Etika ends the call by hanging up on him and screaming because he's so upset at Keemstar.
Keemstar defines a friend as being someone who follows him on Twitter, but a friend is someone that you've probably met in real life, someone you care about, and someone who you don't exploit for views. So I think Keemstar, in his demented perception of what's okay online, thinks a lot of people are his friends when they're not.
Yeah, definitely. H3, though, I think he's 100% in the right, probably could have gone about making the video in a better way. And I'm a longtime huge H3 fan. I truly am. I've watched the majority of his podcasts that have come out since he started making them. And he's been the moral man in a lot of situations in the past, calling out people for things that they've done. Like when he called out Joey Salads for faking a Trump vandalization. He like put a car out in like, in quotes, the hood that had a bunch of Trump 2016 stickers on it. In the video, his prank, in quotes, a bunch of African-American men came and like destroyed the car and vandalized it completely. And he completely faked that video. Like he hired actors to come destroy the car and he passed it off like, look at all these toxic people hating on Trump supporters. Real quick, I just want to say another example of something he's done. There was an issue where these two YouTubers, T. Martin and Pro Syndicate. I will admit, Pro Syndicate was a YouTuber that I actually had watched when I was younger playing Minecraft and things like that. And so that was a shock for me because it was someone that I had previously liked. But they were, I think, very illegally promoting a gambling website through CSGO, which is a video game, basically promoting it straight to kids. And it was a gambling site that they actually owned.
Oh.
Both of them owned the website.
What?
They did not disclose that they owned it in any way. And they were promoting like, look at all this money I'm winning on this great gambling website, go do it.
Oh my gosh, that's such a fraud.
And H3 exposed that they actually owned the website.
Also, this, we're making it seem like H3 cancels people too. That's not how H3 works. That's not how H3 works. That's not how H3's fans work. I don't even believe H3 believes in canceling. He just believes in bringing to light the bad things and asking, hey you, this is wrong, fix that and start making good content. He doesn't want to cancel anyone. He wants them to change.
And I think that second example is a good example of how that played out, because T. Martin and Pro Syndicate still post YouTube videos almost every day and still have a large following. They just stopped doing that really shady and thing that they were doing previously.
When Keemstar brings to light negative things, it's more of a, hey everyone, let's go make these people feel terrible, let's unsub, let's get the sponsors to drop them, let's be as horrible people we can to them forever, they're dumb.
Yeah, we can definitely acknowledge that we are 100% biased towards H3.
So what do you think an argument pro Keem would be on this issue?
I think some of the things that H3 did poorly in this video, I feel like he kind of stooped a bit to Keemstar's level in this specific video. Like in the past, he has not tried to cancel someone, he hasn't, you know, had that toxicity. And I feel like that comes out a little bit in this video where he's like, his goal with this is to end Keemstar a little bit.
I really don't like Keem, but he shouldn't be canceled. He should keep his platform. He should change and become a force for good.
People have called him out like this in the past many times, and he has said he's changing and then has not changed.
What I want, and what many people want, is I want to hear from YouTube. YouTube has anti-bullying standards, right?
Yes.
I would wager that Keemstar breaks the YouTube YouTube community guidelines every single day by being as toxic and as terrible as he is. I would like to hear YouTube make that known and say, Keemstar, you're a bully and our platform doesn't allow bullies, so change and change now. And I would love to see Keemstar become a force for good. It's possible. Everyone can change.
Another thing that H3 did that is a little low, like a low blow, is he did attack Keemstar's sponsors. Why is G Fuel sponsoring Keemstar? Why are they sponsoring him?
I think H3 went too far because he wasn't only hurting Keemstar's internet clout, he was also hurting his revenue. That's taking money away from his family, from his employees. These people, I'm sure, are good people. I have faith that most people are good people. And there's no need to actually attack their livelihood, but let's attack their ideas. It's the ideas that are wrong.
And Keemstar's sponsorship with G Fuel ended after H3's first video.
So it's a shame to see H3 stoop down to that level.
Though, like, his video might have been justified, I think there might have been a better way he could have gone about it.
Definitely.
And all it does is it gives Keemstar these outs where he can focus on these things that H3 had done kind of negatively, and he can call him a hypocrite and attempt to, you know, discredit the greater good message of his video with these little things.
I think it's time to move on to our next piece of internet drama, but you've heard from us. Now we want to hear from you. On our Twitter, there's going to be a poll. Team Keem, Team H3. If you're listening, why don't you keep the podcast playing? Go over to Twitter, drop your opinion. We'd love to hear what you guys think. Do you think we were fair? Are we biased? Are you pro-Keem? Are you pro-H3? We'll see you on Twitter.
Give your opinions. We want to hear what you have to say. So the next topic is something that is a little less controversial, and we're actually quite happy for this person, I think, in general. Joe Rogan has just announced, you know, Joe Rogan, the biggest podcaster in the world.
Joe Rogan is one of my personal icons. He's one of the people I find most inspiring on the planet. You know, that question when they ask you dream dinner guest, for me, it's Joe Rogan.
One of our goals is to have our podcast become as respected as his and as interesting and as, you know, knowledgeable as him.
Well, that means that one of our goals is to be the number one podcast in the world, because Joe Rogan has the most popular, most well-respected podcast that exists.
But I'm saying that we wanted to set it up in a way that we have similar credibility eventually.
Exactly.
One day.
What we respect about Joe Rogan is how honest and open he is, but also how welcoming and understanding he is of a very vast, diverse group of ideas. He'll have people from all over the political spectrum. He'll have wacky moon deniers. He'll have scientists who are like people who don't believe the moon landing is real, idiots. He has everyone come on and they all feel comfortable. And we, the audience, decide for ourselves. It's the perfect John Stuart Mill-esque free speech that I believe we should be fighting for in this country and around the world.
Joe Rogan has signed a deal with Spotify exclusively, so that his podcast only is now available on Spotify, or will be soon, while before it was available on a variety of platforms.
He signed a multi-year licensing agreement, rumored to be over $100 million for his content to exclusively be on Spotify.
One, we are super, super happy for him because we love his podcast, and Joe Rogan Experience is probably the pick for favorite podcast from Secret Bunker as a whole. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, by all means, get your bag, Joe. We are so happy that you found this level of success, and it's so deserved.
Definitely. But a lot of his fans are upset at this change. They feel like he's selling out, for one, because one of the big things about his podcast that people like is that he's been independent and not owned by any other company, and has been, you know, advocating the fact that he's free to say and do whatever he wants. Now, this is just a licensing deal, so he still owns the podcast, and Spotify has no say over the content of the podcast. That will not change at all.
Yeah. Also, I want to talk about the value of $100 million, because I'm not entirely sure, Max, tell me if you agree, if Spotify thought his podcast was worth $100 million. I think he has value as a podcaster for Spotify, but he also has value as an attack against YouTube, because Joe Rogan is one of YouTube's biggest, if not the biggest podcaster, and Spotify is taking him away from YouTube, trying to establish itself as not only the largest audio company, but trying to get into the video space.
Yes, this will be the first video available on Spotify ever, as far as I'm aware.
Do you think Spotify is trying to replace YouTube long term?
In the podcast space, yes. I don't think as a whole.
But actually, I think it would be a good thing for Spotify to diversify into videos, because YouTube hasn't really had a competitor. And if you're familiar with the internet, you know that YouTube itself as a company has many, many controversies because they are not always perfect.
No, and a lot of content creators on YouTube are very upset about the way they handle their copyright discrepancies and censorship rules on YouTube. And a lot of creators are very upset about that, but know that there is no other platform where they can have the level of reach that they do on YouTube.
Exactly. The algorithm used to be very pro-creator, and over the last few years, you've seen late night shows and news taking over the trending pages. The perception is YouTube is moving away from the creator-based model, which is quite hurtful to the community. And if Spotify can come in and go, look, we're offering lucrative deals to creators who are amazing, I believe that that will, if not take away from YouTube, make YouTube better. That's an idea of capitalism, that when you have real competition, the overall product becomes better for the consumer.
Yes. And so I think this is a good move for everyone in general. And I think that, you know, the Joe Rogan Experience will still be available for free on Spotify. He's not adding a paywall in any way to the podcast. Me personally, my first reaction was actually a bit negative because I don't listen to Joe Rogan Experience on Spotify. And so in my mind, I was like, ugh, I'm not gonna be able to see it on YouTube anymore. I'm not gonna be able to listen to it on Apple Podcasts anymore. That's annoying. But as I've thought about it as a whole, I think it's a good move and a great move for him and a good move for the podcast platform and for video streaming overall.
Exactly. Why should Joe Rogan care about what's going to be a little bit annoying for me and a few others like me? Just because I don't like it doesn't mean it's wrong.
When it's going to be a good move for the platform as a whole.
I think we've said our opinions. We'll also put a Twitter poll.
And we really want to hear what you guys have to think. Is this the right move for Joe Rogan? Is he selling out? Do you think this will be a good move for the podcast platform and for the video streaming platforms as a whole?
Should we go into our next piece of internet drama?
I think we should.
Okay, this is the Call Her Daddy girls. Max, I'm not sure how familiar you are with their situation.
I'm pretty familiar with it. I've seen their videos talking about what's happening right now. For those who don't know, Call Her Daddy is another very successful podcast. I just realized pretty much all our topics today have something to do with a podcaster. Like H3, Joe Rogan, Call Her Daddy, and the next one.
Yeah, well, because 2020, I think, is the year of the podcasts. Podcasts are becoming mainstream, as we'll see, as we've seen by this $100 million Joe Rogan deal.
Yes, definitely. Going back, so Call Her Daddy is a podcast that is done by Barstool Sports, which is a company that hosts a lot of content for college-age students. And then the Call Her Daddy podcast focuses a little more on raunchy topics.
I'm a big fan. I really enjoyed it.
The two girls that run it, Alex and Sophia, have run into a bit of controversy recently.
Alex and Sophia, these are the two charming hosts of the amazing Call Her Daddy podcast. Alex was more of the leader. While they were always a duo, Alex seemed to be in charge, and we've later found out since she did the majority of the editing.
As people who now have a, you know, small amount of podcast experience, we understand how much work that editing is. For our podcast, I feel like 95% of the work we do has nothing to do with recording the episodes.
Recording is the easiest part. It's fun.
And it seems like with Alex and Sophia's case, Alex was doing the majority of the non-recording work.
Exactly.
And Sophia was maybe unaware of how much work that actually was, is what it seems like. Alex was saying that the editing was taking her, you know, 7 to 20 hours every episode outside of recording just for the, you know, the 1 hour episode.
And they were going to board meetings and they'd ask, who's doing your editing? And Sophia would say, we are. And that sort of diminishing Alex's extra effort, I think, also was the root cause of this disagreement.
There was a disagreement building for a long time. Because of that, Alex ended up getting paid a little bit more than Sophia, but Sophia was unaware of that.
Yeah.
And so Sophia felt like, oh my God, I just found out Alex is getting paid more than me.
Should we go into the details of the money? I think their first year, they both made just around $100,000.
Yes.
And they would get more money in the form of bonuses based on views.
And they earned far more because they also sold merchandise and, you know, had a lot of other revenue streams.
I think Sophia's biggest problem is she let a man get between her and her best friend. Max, I will never let a man get between me and you. There will be no man or woman or any gender of the infinite amount which will get between our podcast. I can guarantee you that.
Definitely, definitely.
Even though they were making $100,000, that was below industry standards for a podcast of their size. They should have been making a lot more because they were earning Barstool a lot more than that. And they both understood that, and contract renegotiation was part of their initial deal. However, Alex was more open to renegotiating with Barstool, where Sophia, partially because of her new boyfriend, who is a influential person in Hollywood, I believe he was a VP at HBO at one point.
Yes.
He was leading Sophia more towards abandoning Barstool, abandoning the IP, Call Her Daddy, everything they've talked about before, going completely independent with a new podcasting company.
Sophia wanted to say to Barstool, pay us, you know, for this contract, and we're allowed to leave with our IP and go somewhere else at any time.
Which is, you know, quite ridiculous.
It's abnormal for the industry standard.
Yeah, that's not really how it's done, especially when you go the corporate route.
And it's not fair to Barstool in that standpoint, because they're the ones who took the risk and invested the money in order to make the Call Her Daddy podcast the success that it is.
Exactly. It came from nothing. They were us, and Barstool made them them. And so Sophia, with the influence of her boyfriend, turned around and went almost like, we were always going to be this famous. We're super talented. We want everything. Barstool, I think more correctly, went, well, you're very talented, obviously. But would you have had this success without us? No. We kind of made you, and you owe us for that. And I agree.
Yeah, and they were very open to renegotiating for more money. And Sophia kind of, you know, just kept pushing for more and more. Every time they met their demands, she would come up with a new list of demands that were even more egregious.
And Alex has put out that she believes Sophia was negotiating in bad faith.
Where it stands now, it looks like they have kind of cut ties a little bit, Alex and Sophia, unfortunately.
It's so sad to see money and a man break up not only the podcast, but a friendship.
And so it seems like Alex will stay with Barstool and continue doing the Call Her Daddy podcast, possibly with a new co-host. And Sophia will now go off to do her own thing.
But Sophia is still hilarious. She's still really entertaining. And I personally still have hope that one day Alex and Sophia will reunite. I wish the best to them both. And I really hope that Sophia makes a few adjustments. But even if she doesn't, I will still be there to watch her content when she finally releases more.
And me too. I think they're both very talented young women, and both will have a future career in podcasting and in the entertainment industry, regardless of what they do.
This could be a beautiful segue. The Impulsive podcast, also very big, has been on the search for a female co-host for a long time. I actually would be a bit surprised, but quite happy if Sophia jumped and perhaps joined the Impulsive podcast.
Now, transition, for those who don't know, the Impulsive podcast is run by Logan Paul, who is a very controversial figure in the internet YouTube space.
But he's trying to rebrand as an ex-controversial figure.
Yes. I can say that as someone who was not a fan of Logan Paul and the stuff that he's done in the past, I can understand and respect the effort he's made to clean up his act.
I was a bit of a Logan Paul fan before his Suicide Forest controversy. Should we actually get into it just so people understand?
I think, yeah, just to back up, there have been a few Logan Paul controversies in the past, but the biggest one was where he went to Japan to film a YouTube video. Within that video, went to what's called the Suicide Forest, which is a forest that is famous because many people have gone and hung themselves in the trees.
And people have recorded YouTube videos there before, but no one has done what he did.
And so what Logan Paul did was he, you know, went away from the tour guides and snuck off the path, went deep into the forest, found a dead hanging body, and proceeded to film it and broadcast and kind of make fun of it on camera and then post that video to YouTube.
I remember watching it live and was shocked that he posted it. But it was weird because he tried to frame it around mental health and then kept all the jokes in. It was just so poorly done. He tried to make it a positive story, but he was still laughing about this dead body, and I know that's some people's way of reacting to stress. It came off just making light of suicide, which is something no one should ever do.
And he was, you know, definitely received his fair share of YouTube hate for that. He was cancelled.
He was mainstream cancelled. This boy was, you know, BBC, CNN, like, screw Logan Paul.
Before this controversy, I had pretty much only known Logan Paul and his brother Jake Paul as those Viners that moved to YouTube and posted kind of cancerous content.
And also drove by our school really fast all the time.
Yeah. They drove by our high school and annoyed us, as well as posted really, you know, childish, kind of, in my opinion at the time, stupid content.
Cancerous, one might say.
That was my opinion of Logan Paul pre-controversy. When the controversy happened, I was surprised, but I wasn't like, oh, wow, I can't believe Logan Paul did that. I was kind of like, oh, of course Logan Paul did that.
Sure.
And it kind of, in my mind, was like reaffirming my opinion of him that I already had. I'd like to acknowledge, as someone who still, you know, doesn't watch any of his content and is not necessarily a fan, I see the effort he's made to try and come back from that. And I think that cancel culture is a bad thing in this world. And I don't think we should, you know, because of this mistake, tell Logan Paul that he should never have the ability to have a career ever again.
Cancel culture is one of the top 10 negative forces on the planet right now. Just because of how it infects everyone's mind and encourages people on all sides of the political spectrum to be as toxic as possible, especially online, I believe that this is something that future generations will look back at and not only laugh, but be disgusted by.
Yes, and I think that even though I personally am not going to really listen to Logan Paul and don't really like his stuff, I can forgive him for doing that and will not hold it against him in the future, unless he makes another mistake along that path. As long as he shows that he's learned from it and has moved on in a positive way, you know, we should let bygones be bygones a little bit.
I thought his old vlogs were pretty terrible. His podcast, I think, is great. I really enjoy the Impulsive podcast, not only for Logan Paul, but the other co-hosts, especially Hey Big Mike, Mike Malak. I think he's hilarious, currently dating Lana Rhodes, you know. He's just a funny guy, and I really enjoy the dynamic of that podcast. As someone who does follow Impulsive, I can tell you how Logan Paul publicly explains what happened. Because he went from a college kid in college, and he dropped out, and he moved to LA, and he became the golden kid of YouTube, and was hit with millions of dollars. When he would drop merch, sometimes he would make $3 million in a day. This is an insane amount of money, an insane amount of popularity. And when you're 23, it's gonna go to your head. There's no 22-year-old kid who can take that well. You're gonna make mistakes. And it's probably really unhealthy for that to get that much money and success that quickly.
We can look at celebrity examples of things like this in the past, like Miley Cyrus.
Justin Bieber.
We both said that at the same time.
That's funny.
But people like that who in the past, you know, blew up very young with a lot of money, ended up rebelling and having, you know, a difficult time adjusting to it. In the end, were able to find their niche and find their groove and have become much less controversial figures.
And so what Logan Paul will say is that he was going through that same thing that Justin Bieber did, but because of the nature of his content, which is vlogging everything he does, it was publicly shared. He also agrees that he used to be toxic. He talks about how embarrassed he is of his old content and the person he used to be, and I believe he's changed, but maybe I'm just buying the propaganda. That's totally a scenario that could happen. Well, let's bring in KSI now. KSI is one of the most popular YouTubers from my home country, the United Kingdom.
Yeah. Now, I feel like some of this beef is really contrived, and that might be the cynic in me.
No, it definitely is.
When I look at stuff like that, my first instinct is to go with, oh, they're faking this to try and get attention.
I think a large part of it is that, but I also think they don't like each other.
I think there definitely is some level of dislike between the two of them, but I think it is drastically less than is publicly portrayed.
Yeah, that's probably true, man.
I don't think it's a bad thing, but I think it's definitely, like, they play it up a lot for the purpose of monetary gain.
Sure, that's true.
And I think KSI, I mean, his music is not really for me.
I would agree he's not for me, but on his new album, you know, he has Offset, Trippie Redd, some of these artists who are undeniably good.
Well, I know Trippie Redd is notorious. I love Trippie Redd, to preface, and his music is one of my top five artists right now, I'd say for sure. But he is notorious for doing features very freely for very small or very, you know, sometimes untalented people.
Exactly. I think Post Malone or Eminem, you know, one of the people who will do a feature, but only if you're brilliant. That's when you're elevated to the next level.
KSI has done a great job establishing himself as a legitimate music personality in a way that very few people have been able to make the jump to do, like from YouTube to that. The only other examples really are Joji.
I think there are some people, but it's not the music we listen to. I think there are definitely, I've heard of some pop singers who have made it.
And it's funny to think about the Joji Filthy Frank thing.
Yeah.
Because there was a recent controversy. People on the internet that liked Joji's music but never knew about his internet past. I didn't know people like that existed.
Of course.
In my circle, people knew him much more for his YouTube content than his music.
The thing with these internet influencers is within our social circles, these people are very famous. But in social circles outside of us, outside of our bubbles, they're completely unknown. Completely unknown.
Yes.
I think the Twitter poll for LP versus KSI is going to be, you team LP, you team KSI, or you team shut up, who cares, stop buying the narrative. Yeah. And that option is probably going to win, in all honesty.
Yeah, that's the team that I'm on. The next topic we want to talk about is TikTok.
Boo.
But also yay to some people.
Yes. Oh, sorry. If you like TikTok, that's fine.
Definitely. TikTok is an interesting medium because I feel like it's kind of like a successor to Vine in a way.
Yeah.
And I think TikTok definitely blew up because it was filling that hole that Vine left that people were really hoping to fill.
Yeah.
An app has all this comedic focused stuff. It's like Instagram, but it's focused only on entertainment, not on just like posting stuff about yourself.
Sure.
That's kind of what I compare it to. And like Vine was super successful until it wasn't.
Yeah.
It just wasn't making enough money. It's not that they didn't have the viewers and the popularity.
Yeah.
TikTok has found a way to monetize it better and just grabbed that audience really well.
I think that monetization may just be, let's take all this data and sell it to China.
You know, every generation, I feel like the content that they gravitate to gets more and more degenerate and less intellectual.
Start us off at the beginning, Max.
And so, you know, let's take us back to the 1800s. Your child is reading a book and the parent goes up to them and says, stop wasting your time on this nonsense reading about these fictional characters and go, you know, find us dinner. Do something that'll help us survive. Be productive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then that generation turned to their kids when radio and TV were starting to be invented and says to them, stop watching TV. Go do something productive like read a book.
Yes.
And then, you know, starting in the internet generation,
yeah.
I feel like parents are saying, like, what is this? What are these YouTube videos? Why are you watching people play video games? This is so degenerate. Go watch some TV instead. Do something intellectual like that.
Come, let's watch a film with a family, you know? Stop watching YouTube videos. I'm like, this is hilarious.
Yeah, and then we look at the people who look at TikTok and say, stop looking at these degenerate 10-second videos and go watch a YouTube video like an intellectual or go listen to a podcast.
Exactly, exactly.
And so the generations are all hypocritical and all do the same thing.
Yeah, there's a famous quote by Socrates. The children now love luxury. They have had bad manners, contempt for authority. They show disrespect for elders and love chatter in place of exercise. So for thousands of years, humans have been looking down and being condescending towards the next generation. But the question is that what we're doing? Or is TikTok really stupid? I think it's stupid.
I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I don't think it's any more brainless than watching, like, Keeping Up with the Kardashians or reality TV books. You know, there are tabloids and things like that that you read that are literature that are just as, you know, brain numbing.
And some, going back to the 1800s, some outside activities like picking up rocks. Just as dumb as that.
And I'm sure there are some TikToks that are informational and interesting and not, you know, brain numbing. As a whole, we definitely are like trending towards more degenerate content.
Well, that's why I am so proud of people like Joe Rogan who are doing the opposite and proving that these new mediums can not only be a place for good content, but a place for some of the best content I believe has ever been created.
Definitely. I 100% agree with that.
I think that's a good note to end out the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We will not become an internet drama podcast. We're just doing it once, just for fun.
And I think these are just topics that we've been thinking about a lot lately, so we wanted to just give our opinion.
We've been talking a lot about them in private, so why not make a podcast?
Follow us on all our social medias.
I want to make a habit of every episode, we have one specific shout out. Like, don't follow all our social medias, just follow one. It's very easy. And today, we only have one. And that is Twitter. Please, we've put a lot of polls on our Twitter about the topics we've been talking about. We want to hear back from you. Follow our Twitter, Secret Bunker Pod. Answer the polls and we'll have a great time.
Yes, definitely. We'll see you next time.